Yes, this is the Narbos and Broomheads podcast, but we are taking a break from reviewing Degrassi episodes. We're going to shift our focus to my so-called life over the next few months. We hope you'll stick around for this journey. If you want to touch base with us, all of the same social media, at Narbos Podcast on Twitter, at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, and narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com if you want to talk to us about my so-called life or come on to an episode. Please let us know. We will get back to Degrassi episodes after we're done reviewing my so-called life in a few months. Don't fear, though, if you're missing that content, we've got well over 150 episodes of Degrassi reviews for you. Head over to anywhere where you listen to your podcasts and go back into our history. Hope you enjoy them, and hopefully you'll enjoy our reviews of my so-called life. Let's do it. And Broomheads, and we're ready for more hijinks as we keep talking about Weekend, the second to last episode of my so-called life that ever happened, and this will likely be our second to last episode talking about my so-called life. So some of you will love that and some of you won't, but I don't care. Hi everybody. I'm Alan. I will take you through the second half of this episode this lovely evening, and I've got a fun cast of characters. We are all handcuffed to my parents' bed together and stuck here, so why not talk about this episode? Who have we got? Let's head over to Regina.
It's me. It's Arlo. I would normally be coming to you from Regina, but I'm coming to you handcuffed to Alan's bed. Just kidding. I shouldn't make jokes like that, especially when like all of the Narbos and Broomheads crew is like in Toronto right now.
Yeah, actually, that's true. You're
the
only one that isn't here. Yeah.
Who knows? No, I am in Regina. But I supplied the handcuffs. And let's see who else is out there. About down the road to where do you live? Oakland? Oakville?
Yeah, Oakland, California. I have recently moved. Oakville, Arlo.
The Oakety Oaks.
That's what we call it around here. Oakety yep. Oaks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Over here in Oakety Oakville. Tim here, and I have the key to the handcuffs, but I am choosing not to use it right now. Because I'm enjoying the company.
Aww.
And who is our special guest with us once again, the New Yorker?
Yeah, I am a New Yorker. This is Stacy. Hello. Thank you for having me once again. I love hanging out with you guys and recording. It's fun.
Well, thank you for coming here once again and locking yourself to Alan's bed.
Yes, thank you for handcuffing me to the bed. It's a first.
Well, and if you all missed last week's episode, we all learned what a cock cage was, everybody. If you don't know what it is and you don't want to look it up on your computer, go back and listen to our last episode.
Or use incognito mode.
Yes, there's also that. So in our last episode, we talked about part one of Weekend. Again, it's episode 18, the second to last episode that was ever made of the television series My So-Called Life. And I guess we all kind of agreed, not much depth to this one. Ultimately, there are two plot lines taking place. With the parents, particularly Patty and Graham, they have gone on a weekender kind of trip with Graham's brother Neil and his kind of surprise girlfriend or, you know, fling, whatever, Cheryl. They've gone somewhere up a mountain, supposedly, and there is a hijinks happening over there, though more in this episode than the last one. And back at the Chase household where Angela is taking care of things, there was a pair of handcuffs that were there for sexual purposes by the parents, left behind, found by Rayanne. Rayanne is now handcuffed to the bed at the Chase household, and there is still tension between Rayanne and Angela because of the Jordan Catalano situation. I think that's basically it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
This episode aired on January 19th, 1995. Again, it was directed by Tom Holland and written by Adam Dooley. So, yeah, let's get back into this one. So, we're coming back from a commercial, and we've got all the kids at the Chase household. There is Ricky, Angela, Rayanne, Sharon Chersky, who came over with her mom, and then her mom just left her there. And Danielle, Angela's little sister, who in this episode is the narrator. So there were two episodes of this show where the narrator was not Angela, and one was Brian Krakow, one is this one with Danielle. And as pointed out, Todd Holland was the director for both of them. So all of the older kids are trying to explain the handcuffs to Danielle, who just isn't interested.
Right.
I would have liked, there's been other scenes where they kind of use euphemisms around her, and then she's like, you're talking about foreplay, aren't you? Like,
yeah.
So I would have liked it more, I think, if she had been kind of more in the know, but here she just doesn't give a shit. She's just happy to be hanging out with everybody, right?
Well, exactly. I do think, I did chuckle when she was like, they were just like, she's like, guys, I'm not even interested. And they're like, okay, great. And then she's like, thanks, now I'm interested.
Yeah, well, now I am.
Yeah. So now back at this inn, which we were debating, is it a bed and breakfast? I wrote lodge, but...
Ooh, yeah, lodge, sure, lodge, go. Yeah.
Like, it's apparently in, the like, a winter wonderland, right?
It's
everything,
like a,
you, it's
a Twilight Zone.
Yeah, like, you see, like, logs in the construction around them. They're, you know, Patty's in some, like, loungy area with, like, a fire.
It seems like a ski lodge, but nobody seems to be, there doesn't seem to be any skiing.
Yeah. So Patty has been left there on her own because Graham and Neil and Cheryl had gone out to find alcohol. And after waiting for a long, long time for them to come back and having their plans canceled, the three party animals walk in and they're all laughing and goofing about. They seem to have had the greatest time ever out buying booze, including some inside joke that the three of them have, because I forget what the booze was, but they all like, say the name
Dr.
together.
Dr. Allen's ginger flavored brandy.
Yeah. Yeah, that. So they've clearly been having a time while Patty was left behind kind of waiting.
Do you guys get the sense that they smoked the doobies?
Oh, I guess they could have.
They seem to have a lot of giggling, a lot of silliness.
Yeah. I mean, something was definitely done.
Yeah.
They're proud of some jaywalking tickets.
Yeah, they got tickets for jaywalking. Cheryl is wearing Graham's sweater, which Patty calls out. And then she's like, why didn't you lend her your jacket, Neil? And Neil's like, it's fucking cold. Like, the fuck?
Like, Patty made a tactical error in saying, I'll stay here.
Yes. She should have just gone with them, right?
She could have gone with them, but she was so stuck in her itinerary. And in her mind, she's like, well, they'll just be right back, and then we could go do all the things on my itinerary. Not reading that nobody wants to do this itinerary, and they're going to be gone longer, probably. You know, she should have just said, let's all go.
Yeah,
and
I'm
then
surprised
she wouldn't
she
have
didn't.
Been left out. So I feel a little sorry for her that she's, like, been left out here. Like, I think that happens to the best of us sometimes when somebody's just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna run to the store and grab this thing, and then they're way longer than you think, and they all come back and they've all had all these adventures, and you're like, well, if I knew you were gonna have a bunch of fun adventures, I would have gone with you. You said you were only gonna be 2 minutes.
Now that's the episode I wanted to see. What happened on this trip to
the adventures?
Yeah, the adult adventures into town, getting a jaywalking ticket and having the time of their lives.
So, you know, I do feel a little sorry for Patty in this scenario, but she made a tactical error of
but I'm
not
also
going
surprised because of how type A she seems to be that she didn't go with them to make sure that they did exactly what they said they were going to do in order to come back in time so they could go ice skating.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they probably wouldn't have had any fun if she'd
she lost the chance to ruin another part of the trip.
Yeah, I'm just surprised she didn't do that just from her whole personality.
Oh, Patty.
I have friends like that.
So back at the Chase household, Ricky and Angela are changing the sheets on, like, their parents' bed. So again, Rayanne is handcuffed to the headboard of the bed, so she is stuck on this bed for some reason. I mean, I wish
I think
been...
they're looking for the key.
Oh, okay. So they've pulled up the sheets on the bed. Ricky leaves, and Rayanne actually asks Ricky to leave and have her be alone with Angela. So when Ricky leaves, Angela assumes that Rayanne wants to talk about their situation and what happened with Jordan. But Angela says, "I don't want to talk about it." Rayanne says, "I don't want to talk about it either. I wanted Ricky to leave because I need to go to the bathroom," which, I mean, I like the idea, like, that's what's happened, but, like, Ricky goes to the girls' washroom with everybody. So
yeah, I don't buy that she wouldn't just ask Ricky for a jar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't track there. So, back at the inn, hotel, lodge, whatever you want to call it, Patty is folding clothes because, again, so much fun, and the key falls out. And when the key falls out, Graham sees it right away. So she confesses to getting these handcuffs from Camille. And Graham is like, let me see. Where are they? Get them out. Yeah. Did you bring a cock cage too? Come on, let's go.
Yes, so, Graham is very interested in the handcuffs.
Yeah. Yes. And so Graham wants to see them. Patty says they're not there, but then is like, should I have brought them? And Graham, like, hems and haws. But clearly, yes, you should have brought the handcuffs.
He's already got his hands behind his back waiting.
He's like, I can handcuff you to the bed, and then me and Neil and Cheryl can go and have fun.
Yeah.
So, again, we're going back and forth between the two locations here. Kids are all hanging out in the parents' room. And chatting, and the music. What song is playing, everybody? I think we all know this one. Anyone?
I do. It is Lightning Crashes.
It is not.
Right?
It is live. It is I Alone.
Oh, was it I Alone? Yep. Okay, got it.
Yeah, I Alone.
From the hit album Throwing Copper.
I have a few comments about this song. Number one, this song rules. Number two, Throwing Copper is the most amazing album, like super awesome for like 8 tracks, and then it falls off a cliff. It has one of the worst songs ever, Waitress, is just hideous. It's about tipping a waitress even though she was mean to you, because as is sung, everybody's good enough for some change. Some fucking change. So, yep. Those are real lyrics, everybody. Yeah. So there's that. And also, I achieved a sexual milestone in my teenage years with I Alone playing as a soundtrack. So,
no.
Yep.
Oh, first time with a cock cage. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just me by myself. I locked my dick in the cock cage, and I'm like, I alone with my cock cage. I alone. Yeah.
This is a very quintessential album for me in this time period as well.
Yep.
I had a friend, and she lived in her parents' basement. Like, her room was in her basement, which was kind of, I mean, when you're 14 or 15 years old, it's neat because you have like all this space, right? Oh, wow. And whenever I'd stay at her place, I would like sleep on the couch and she'd go to bed, and she couldn't sleep without music on. So she just put this album on repeat for the entire night.
Nice.
And like, she was like sound asleep, and I was like, I cannot sleep with music blasting.
I mean, damn it, Otter Creek would be a freaky song to try to sleep to. Where he's like, are we here? I'm like, nope.
But yeah, like that Throwing Copper like brings me right back to whatever it was, 1994, 1995. It's just so indicative of that time for me.
Yeah. It reminds me of working at the golf course that summer, 94, and then also 95. Just, Jesus, it's so long ago. I have the CD somewhere in my room still.
Yeah, it's basically 30 years old. They're still touring. They're playing in Toronto not too long from now. But recently, like, the band had all these problems. It had completely split up. They got back together. They did a number of years of reunion shows and have recently all split up again. So it's basically the singer.
I was going to say, go and request Waitress.
Yeah, ugh. Hideous song. Hideous. So Sharon is like, you know, I know somebody who might know how to free Rayanne. And the whole room's like, no, not him. And of course, it's Brian Krakow, who shows up.
Brain his way out of this pickle.
Brain? Krakow?
Krakow?
Yeah. So Brian shows up. Danielle is narrating and is swooning over Brian because she has a crush on him. So then Brian, the genius who they've brought over, he looks at the situation and he says, oh yeah, all we need are wire shears. And he suggests that Graham would have them. He says his dad would not. Danielle knows right away, no, my dad doesn't have wire shears. How would she know this?
Forgot to point out the part where we get Danielle is sort of swooning over Brian again.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Sorry? Did that happen already? Oh,
you just weren't listening to me. Yes.
I'm sorry. I must have missed it.
Yes. Danielle was swooning over Brian.
His arm touched her arm.
Oh, big time. So they don't have these wire shears. So then Brian suggests, well, we can go to the hardware store on Monday. So this is Saturday, I'm presuming, right? Like, everybody left at the end of the week. That would have been Friday. One night has passed. There's going to be another night coming tonight. Yep. And then everyone comes home. So this must be Saturday. So I then wrote, is nothing open in Pittsburgh over the weekend? Like, and one of the thoughts I had here was, okay, perhaps they couldn't get this item at the hardware store because collectively they have no money amongst them. But we will see later that they come up with another solution that would involve needing to spend money. So this does not track.
There wasn't a lot open on Sundays in like the early 90s.
I mean, this is Saturday, first of all.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
But it closes early.
Closes at 6 or something and is closed on Sundays, maybe. Like if it's later at night, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not crazy to think, but yes, you would think you could find something.
It's pretty crazy when we're talking about, where are we? Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Big city.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they don't have transportation to get farther than their suburb, so maybe the only close one is...
Well, they're gonna get somewhere soon, so...
Mm.
So back at the lodge or whatever, the adults are having dinner now, so they're all in this... It's like, I guess, a restaurant or dining hall. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a fancy, you know, you're sitting at tables with your amongst friends.
It's a restaurant that's connected to this inn.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that if you're staying at the inn, you come and eat at the restaurant. And there's also people from outside who just come to the restaurant. Yeah. That would be my guess.
So Patty's like, good news, everybody. I got an extension on our checkout time so that we could get some more activities in. And
so proud.
So I was horrified at this because like, I like my vacations plenty, but I am the type where like the day to go home, I want to go home like right away. I don't want to fuck around. I am done. Get me home. So the idea,
I'm good with like sleeping in.
Yeah.
Driving home. But yeah, I don't want to get up at the crack of dawn and do a bunch of shit. Come on.
Yeah. So everybody else is drinking, so they're kind of sneaking the hooch around the table.
The hooch.
Yeah. Patty is not interested, and the rest of them are kind of sarcastically commenting that she's too mature for them.
Yeah, they really are kind of giving it to her a little bit.
Yeah, so Patty gives in to the peer pressure and asks for the hooch, which impresses Graham.
Wait, I'd like to mention, though, did you notice how she held that bottle? It was like she was a blind person. Yes. Like, she had never drank from a bottle in her life before.
Well, she had, like, the one hand was kind of at the neck of the bottle as she's tipping it in her mouth. And the second one was underneath. And I'm actually doing the hand motion right now. And it looks like I'm blowing a guy and cupping his balls. So.
Is it like how Donald Trump drinks water?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
I feel sorry. I feel kind of sorry for Patty in this moment because, as a rule follower, like, I wouldn't want to drink in the restaurant either. I would be like, well, can't we just wait till we get back to our room? Like, we can have a nightcap or whatever. But like, I wouldn't want to take sips right in front of the innkeeper, knowing that it was against the rules.
So they could have just poured it in their glasses, and no one would have known.
Well, the thing is, we haven't really established that it's against the rules, right? We know that they do not serve booze at the inn, which, again, everybody discovers when they're there. And I'm like, you should look that shit up. Like, if a place is dry especially if they have rules around not drinking, that should be advertised very prominently when you try to book a place there. But anyways.
Well, you also shouldn't bring your own Chinese food to a fucking bar. Like, Allie.
It's at least she wasn't in the episode.
You know, I'm not saying, like, don't hide it in your room and have some shots later or something like that. I'm just like, you know, this is a restaurant. Just sneak in, like, Mickey's of
booze?
Dr. Allen's ginger-flavored brandy.
Yeah, my favorite. Because it's got my name in it.
And right around this time, I was thinking they got a single Mickey for four adults. But then that got solved.
They got a second Mickey.
Yeah.
So back at the, with the kids, everybody is sitting there watching Brian think, because he is the only person that can come up with ideas on what to do. And Danielle is super into this, and they're all like, only Brian can save us. Right. So, so here's what Brian comes up with, the genius who they've brought over to think through this. He suggests, well, if we find another set of handcuffs, they could have the same key.
Because that's how handcuffs work.
Yeah.
He did say by the same manufacturer.
Sure.
Specifically.
Sharon immediately calls out a place called the Pleasure Center, which is the most generic name for a sex shop, right?
I did read that they originally had called it the G-Spot, but ABC wouldn't let them.
Yeah, the censors were like, no.
So.
Yep. So I then wrote here, why would that be open and not the hardware store? But, you know, the sex toy shop would probably be open late at night, so sure, right? Sharon then says she'll take Brian there, and everyone's like, you know where it is? And she's like, I pass by it. So, sure.
Sure, Sharon.
Yeah. So, now we're back with the adults who are, well, some, are now drunk and loud and obnoxious at dinner. So, we've talked about this in other shows that we've covered.
Sure have.
On the scale of, like, 0 to 10... 0 being nope, absolutely unbelievable, 10 being very plausible. How well is Patty at portraying drunk?
Hard one. She's off.
I feel like in the beginning it's pretty believable.
Yeah.
And then it goes off the rails to the point where it's not believable anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm having problems with my rating, my overall rating.
Yeah, me too, because I feel the same way. Like, at first it seemed totally fine and not too over-actor, and then it really, like you said, it really did go off the rails.
Yeah.
They're getting loud enough that you can tell it's becoming disruptive, and it's to the point where Warren comes over and asks, like, so, how's dinner going, everyone? Graham says it's fine, but a drunk Patty tells Warren that Graham is a food snob, so... So, yeah, there's that. She also says that Warren is her friend because they spoke earlier when the rest of the people at her table left her all alone. Warren's
she says that Warren is sensitive.
Warren's like, fuck you all. So now we have Brian arriving back at the Chase household. He has gone and gone into the store that is open and purchased the handcuffs. So they have them. Now, these handcuffs couldn't have been cheap, right? Because
they look solid.
Well, they came in that fancy fucking box, right?
That too.
So that feels like a lot. And
unless that was like Camille's like own
box,
fancy box that she put the handcuffs in.
Arlo, what would one say a pair of above average handcuffs would cost?
Usually the above average ones aren't metal.
Oh.
They're usually like leather with buckles and stuff like that. So those ones can get a little pricier. Like just a standard metal handcuff would be like around $25.
Okay. What if they come in a, you know, like a fancy box that you would put like a watch in, like a Cartier?
Well, and I'm going to say that maybe these ones are made by a designer or manufacturer or something like that. Like it's part of a collection that one of the luxury brands has. Or a
collaboration, you'd say.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. So my guess maybe like $70?
It's the Dior collab.
Yeah. Well, somehow they've managed to find the same manufacturer's set of handcuffs.
Or so they thought.
Yeah. Brian says, you won't believe who we ran into at the store. And I'm thinking Jordan Catalano, but it is not Jordan. Angela looks outside. Kyle and Sharon are furiously making out. Kyle is clearly the more aggressive one. So I guess Kyle and his friend were just hanging out at the fucking sex toy shop together?
Yeah, with pictures of Brad Pitt available.
Interesting.
And I mean, I know we're going to get some hijinks out of this too, but like seriously, what was the point of these two guys?
I think it was for this next scene.
Hijinks, I get it.
Yeah, but that's it. Yeah, you're right. So the only thing that they're here to do is Kyle wants to go into the house because he needs to take a leak. And he's with his friend Phil, who I guess also will go into the house to take a leak. Meanwhile, Brian is trying to unlock the cuffs, but Rayanne, so first of all, he like climbs. I'm like, you unnecessarily climbed over her, Brian, to get to these cuffs.
He bounced her, I guess you could say.
Yeah, like you don't need to get into the full mount to get to the handcuffs. And then secondly, Rayanne is like, you dummy, like the key is too big. And as she says it's too big, Kyle opens the door and sees them. So that's the big joke. Brian's cock is too big, everybody. It's mammoth. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's
kind of fun.
Yeah. So he sees that also everybody else is sitting in the room watching them. So he shuts the door. He sees Phil and he's like, Brian is in there with Rayanne and everybody else is watching, dude. And that's the whole point. That's why they're in this episode. Never see them again. So drunk Patty and Cheryl are talking loudly about Neil. Patty calls Neil out for having commitment issues, and Warren comes around again, and he is done. He's like, y'all need to get the fuck out. Graham is also ready for the festivities to be over.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Patty is like, I'm going to have one more drinky poo.
One more drinky poo.
And like, it's not even that she spills a little bit, right? Like, she's taking the sip, and it's just leaking out of the bottle all over herself.
This is utter nonsense.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, I got it on my shirt. So she starts to take her shirt off. And yeah, I think this is where all of us are like, come on. Right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. So Patty takes her shirt off. She's wearing she's wearing like a bodysuit thing. Cause I guess she can't just be in a bra, right? So
yeah, that's okay. No.
Yeah. So
I'm going to call it an undershirt.
Yeah. So
a silky undershirt or a slip perhaps.
So yeah. Slip. So when when this comes out, Warren gives them the boot and Neil and Graham end up carrying Patty out of the restaurant, which again is ridiculous. But then Cheryl's left behind and she's like, I really admire her. So, that amused me. Off to commercial. So it's the middle of the night. Rayanne is sleeping in Patty and Graham's bed because she is handcuffed to it. And Danielle comes in. Rayanne asks her to grab a bottle of booze. And Danielle refuses. Rayanne tries to bribe her. Danielle is not buying it. And then she flat out says to Rayanne, I hear my parents say you're a bad influence. So she asks Rayanne why she is the way she is. And Rayanne's explanation is she sees life going in slow motion and she thinks something needs to happen. And so she's the one that's going to make it happen. And I mean, that tracks. Take that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Patty wakes up.
I mean, it actually really tracks for someone who has like ADHD.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She basically should just be saying like, I need a dopamine fix and I'm always looking for one. When one doesn't come, I have to seek it out and make it happen.
Yeah. Patty.
That's pretty good insight into her character, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Patty wakes up hungover and she sees that Graham is packing up. And he says they've been asked to leave. And so they're leaving.
I mean, Graham actually seems kind of amused by the whole thing, which, you know, if you were married to Patty, wouldn't you kind of be vaguely amused about it?
You know, I think there comes to a point if you're, you know, if you've been with someone or you're married to someone for long enough and you're not like a problem drinker, when someone gets drunk and you're not drunk, it's actually pretty funny the next day. Like, you're, I mean, like, look at you, sucker.
You know, if the shoe was on the other foot and it was Graham and they got asked to leave because Graham did something stupid, Patty would be furious.
Oh, yeah.
So credit to Graham for,
yeah, I think it's funny.
Letting it roll off. Yeah. Yeah.
So Angela walks into her parents' room and sees that Rayanne and Danielle are fast asleep on the bed. I think she's supposed to be touched by this. She'd be like, now you're trying to steal my sister, too. So back as everybody's checking out at the inn, the lodge, the hotel, Patty apologizes to Neil and Cheryl for the night before. And she says that she didn't give Cheryl a fair chance overall and suggests that they hang out again. But Cheryl says, well, that's not going to be happening because her and Neil broke up. She went to have a shower, and when she came out, there was Neil on the phone with Marla. Marla is his, I guess, his on-again, off-again girlfriend for the past 6 years, so he's back chatting with her. And then she's like, ah, it's my fault. I take really short showers. So
yeah, that one made me chuckle.
Yeah. So now back at the Chase household, Brian has finally just decided to take the bed apart. So he is trying to take the headboard off of the bed, and they're telling him to be careful because they don't want to break the bed, and right on cue, the whole bed just collapses. Every piece breaks. Of it.
That totally tracks. Like, uh-huh. Have you ever tried to, like, take an IKEA bed apart or anything like that? Like, you can't just take the headboard off.
Yes.
Not possible.
I was doing some moving in the last 2 months, and it was horrible with the beds.
And now I need a new bed.
Yeah.
My bed is actually broken for every reason that you think it is. And, like, it's basically, like, patched together with string and stuff like that because it's the only way we can get the whole bed to sort of stay together. Like, there's no way to actually fix it with actual tools or anything. So we've just been, like, living with it because bed frames are super expensive. So we've been, like, living with a broken bed frame for, like, 5 years now.
So Brian, breaks the bed, and we get back to Patty and Graham. They're on the way home making a pit stop at a gas station. Patty tells Graham that she acted like an idiot. And
I mean, yeah.
Yep. And then she says, though, you should not have left me alone when you all went for the booze. And she starts getting mad. And she yells about the situation that she was in, but in her yelling, she's like, and then you looked under her hood. And that is not something that Graham did with Neil or Cheryl. It is in reference to the beginning of the episode when he was talking about what happened with Hallie Lowenthal. So,
yes. Yeah. So now we know what's really been bothering Patty. Yep. Although I think that a lot of things are probably bothering Patty. It's not just that.
I actually thought this was going to go somewhere, too, and it never did. Like, I thought maybe this was going to be the straw that broke the camel's back and it was going to turn into something, but it feels like, you know, they just brushed it off a little bit in the end.
It is. Like, they don't really reference it again, right?
No.
I mean, nothing really happened. Like, no. Graham could have just been like, what are you talking about? Or something, and she could have said nothing. We don't know.
Well, he kind of does. Like, he doesn't, I don't think he catches the reference right away. Because he's like, wait, that never happened with them. But they don't get into what it was. We just kind of move on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Rayanne gets released from the bed finally. And immediately, like, as soon as her hand is out, she is over to her shit. She wants to leave. And Angela is super pissed and tries to stop her. And at that very moment, the phone rings. So Danielle answers it. And then she tells everybody it's their parents and they're going to be home in 20 minutes, which, like, I mean, yeah, okay, like, cool. But that's a weird time interval to me. I don't know why. Like, if you're 20 minutes away from home, why are you stopping?
yeah.
Like, just go home.
That.
I don't know. But I just feel like that's a really short time interval to be like, okay, we got to call home and say 20 minutes. I could see like an hour. But
yeah, anyways. Or we just left.
Yeah, yeah. So We then get the another trope. We get the montage of the house, which is a disaster zone, and we are cleaning everything up, right? So the bed gets put back together. We see the living room, and it's a fucking sty. And I'm like, again.
Oh, my God. What the hell happened?
It's I remember when we had those Degrassi episodes, right, where all the kids were around. And I mean, I guess you can make a hell of a mess in two nights, but I'm still not buying it.
No, or like when Joey and Wheels stayed over at Snake's house.
Snake's house, yeah.
Yeah.
There was like 15 people were there.
Yeah. So this house is disgusting, but we see, you know, kids running outside with garbage bags and stuff like that. So
they banded together and got it clean.
Yeah, yeah. So parents arrive home. The house is in decent shape. Things are clean enough. They go upstairs, and again, they go into their bedroom. All the kids are on their bed watching the television. I'm like, what?
With their shoes on?
I mean, like, just everything.
They'd be like, what the fuck?
Everything
Americans
about this.
Americans leaving their shoes on. That's a thing, right? You, Stacey, Americans leave their shoes on in the house?
Some do, yes.
It's so fucking upsetting, like, everything.
I mean, it bothers me.
I argue with my husband about it all the time. My American husband.
I never wear shoes, though.
He hates taking his shoes off when he walks into the house. I'm like, what? Were you brought up in a barn? Take your shoes off.
Oh, all right, Patty.
You're a Canadian citizen now. Take your damn shoes off. Canada.
And also, again, it's like, what are you all doing in our fucking room? Like, there's another TV. Go away.
Yeah.
But they're all there. It's just open season in the fucking parents' bedroom. So we see Patty placing the key down on the counter. And Danielle sees it, so she grabs it. And then she hugs her mom and welcomes her back. And as she's hugging her, sneaks the key to Angela. Of course, Rayanne has been freed from the bed, but the handcuffs are still on her wrist. So they get the cuffs off of Rayanne, and then everybody leaves. So there you go. Kids, get away. Graham tells Patty that the weekend was weird. And Patty says, yeah, we never had a chance to reconnect. And then they start to fuck around. So, like, the kids literally closed the door to the bedroom 30 seconds ago and are all still in the house.
They couldn't have sex when two adults were in the adjoining room the night before. And here you have underage children, two of which are your own. And you're just ready to drop and go.
Yeah.
Also, it made me cringe because I, like, if I was as hungover as Patty
should be,
like, the last thing I want to do is make out with someone. Like, I can't believe she's not barfing all over Graham right now.
Like, it's just, it would be such a miserable day. You're hungover, then you have to fucking drive. And, like, I just, no, just everything is bad. So, but yeah, they're going to fuck. They don't give a shit, right? So, as they're kind of fooling around, they fall onto the handcuffs, which again, it's like they immediately fall on the bed. Remember, when they walked in the room, all the kids were on the bed together.
Right.
So now they fall onto the bed and the handcuffs are immediately discovered. I'd just be like, Graham's just like, I can't believe none of those kids even notice it. They're so fucking stupid. Like, come on. So Graham seems into the handcuffs, and then they start to mess around, but they realize, too, that the key is missing. So the kids have taken the key with them, right? I guess. And the kids are all still leaving the house. So, yeah, they're gone. But Rayanne stays for a second because Angela wants to speak with her. And Rayanne says, I don't really want to get into a discussion with you. And Angela says, no, I just want the key. So Rayanne coughs up the key and then she leaves. And Angela says, well, that was the weekend from hell. But Danielle in the narration says this was the best weekend of her life, which, again, I think that tracks. Like, if you're 10 or 11 or whatever, this would be a thrilling weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So much happened in her world.
You get to hang out with your sister, who you idolize, and all her friends. Brian Krakow's over.
Hijinks.
There's hijinks. Probably get to eat, like, pizza and ice cream. Come on. Greatest weekend of all time. So they then head back upstairs together, where Patty and Graham are presumably still banging.
Yeah, are still naked right now, just getting after it.
Yeah. So, and then we think that that's the end of the show, but then we get something that has not happened on this show so far. So, normally, this is the end. We get the fade out, possibly another commercial, and then we come back and we are immediately at credits, and the credits are just over a black screen with the music. But in this case, when we come back from the commercial, it's a shot of the TV. So the TV, the show that was on in Patty and Graham's room when the kids were watching, was some like fishing show, because they were just throwing the TV on as to try to feign that everything is fine. So this fishing show is still on. You just see the TV, and it's just Graham and Patty narrating, right? And they are looking for the key, but very, very gradually, Graham becomes less and less interested in the key and more into the fishing show. And I was amused by it. It went on for about a minute, but I was also like, are we just trying something new? Like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
Well, and the thing was, I don't know, I heard it. It said at the end, like when the credits sort of, or you thought the credits were coming, it said, stay tuned for scenes from our, season finale or something like that. I was like, oh, this is interesting. I'll see what the next episode's about. And then this happened. This has nothing to do with the next episode.
Yeah. So, and that's where we end things off. So that's the weekend. The weekend of hijinks is behind us. And nothing happened.
Yeah.
We get one mention of the Hallie Lowenthal thing, and that it's bugging Patty, but then it doesn't go anywhere. Like, not only does it not go anywhere, but in the same day, probably within the same span of 2 hours, she goes from melting down and making that and saying that line, which is supposed to be like the big dramatic line of the entire episode, to just fucking her husband when they get home. So
yeah, like nothing happened.
So it feels like a pretty low stakes event. And with the kids, we get the handcuff situation, and then it's over, and then Rayanne leaves, and her and Angela don't really talk. So it really is a bunch of... There's... I think I've referenced this before, but there was the episode of The Simpsons where... Let's see. I think it begins, like, Bart gets hit with the car, and then they go to court, and then they're about to win the court case, but then Homer fucks it up, and so they don't get any money, but then Mr. Burns decides to buy them this big native head. And so all this stuff like takes place, and then at the very end of the episode, the Simpsons family are sitting on the couch and they're trying to figure out, like, wow, like this was a bunch of interesting stuff. What did we learn? And then they try to throw some lessons out, and they're like, well, no, that doesn't work because of this. And finally, one of them says, it's just a bunch of stuff that happened. And that's what this episode kind of feels like.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with it. I didn't dislike this episode. There was parts of it that I found amusing, but it's definitely, I would rate it at the bottom, the lower half, I think, of good episodes of this show.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's not, the worst, but it's just there. It's really just there.
It's like, maybe it's the worst episode of the series that doesn't involve supernatural elements.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, like, my favorite episodes, or some of my favorite episodes in television shows, are bottle episodes where they're like in one spot, right? They're usually there because a show has spent too much money elsewhere, so they need to have something that's cheaper, so they sort of have an episode in one location. But I always think those are interesting episodes because they let the actors do the job.
Right.
I think this would have been a really good episode if it was just the kids stuck in this bedroom. I think it's the parent bullshit that I just do not understand. It has no, it doesn't work with the show. It's silly. The act, like, Patty wouldn't be so stupidly drunk, but if she was, it wouldn't be this crazy. It like bringing in this weird girlfriend, like, who the fuck cares that Neil's got a new girlfriend and wasn't with Marla? Like, all that stuff to me is just like completely ruins the feeling of this show. But if we just isolated the kids, the parents could do the old fashioned, okay, guys, we're leaving for the weekend. We want to go bang at a lodge. Angela, take care of your sister. Oh, yeah, I will. Nothing ever happens when we're gone. And then all this kind of stuff happens because you could have had the Angela and Rayanne thing. We could have had where Ricky was getting a phone call for Mr. Kaczynski and you see he's in a good situation because someone's looking after him. Mm-hmm. You could have Sharon kind of rekindling with what's his nuts. You, like, all this stuff could have happened within this bedroom. And I think it would have been a little better.
A little more narration from Danielle as well. Like, I think in comparison to Life of Brian, there was very little narration from her.
Right.
And I think that probably you're right. If it spent a little more time on the kids' plot line and made that at least the A plot,
yeah,
that we would have had a little bit more insight into her character, which could have been interesting.
Well, it could have been from her entire point of view. The whole episode could have been Danielle's point of view.
Yeah.
Well, and we have the thing with Patty and Graham. You could have had that storyline play out in 10 minutes as opposed to 25 minutes of the episode.
Right.
And you could
just to show passage of time or something.
Well, and also you could have still had it get to the punchline of, oh, but you looked under a hood. Like, you could have done all that still.
Well, we didn't learn anything new either, right? In that entire storyline, we learned nothing new. Like, oh, Patty's a prude. She's an A-type personality. That's not new. Oh, like the brother has a girlfriend. We don't really care about that. It doesn't affect anything with, like, oh, Patty's judgmental and a prude. Again, about that. Surprise, surprise. You know, and Patty's feeling insecure about Hallie. We already knew that information. Yeah. Like, it's...
And like, in the last episode, which is rated as, by a lot of folks, as, like, the top episode of the season of the series.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, arguably the most heartbreaking moment is the potential breakup of the friendship between Angela and Rayanne, right? Like, the central thing of the show. And now in the very next episode, you put them in a situation where they're forced to be in the same house for 48 hours. And there is
nothing.
No tension. Like, no tension whatsoever.
Like, even the point where they're having the fight on the floor and Angela says something about, like, whatever she says, you're kind of like a curse on me or something like that. She says something like that. They had something there. Like, there was a little bit of something happening. And then it was kind of like their little meeting at the door on the way out. There was no fallout from that. Like, she literally called Angela, like, kind of like, you're the worst thing that's happened to me.
Yeah.
You've ruined my life. And then, come on, give me the key. Are we good? Fist bump. Peace out.
Yeah. So,
but I think there could have been something there if it was just this bottle episode in the bedroom.
And the
all that stuff kind of tracked.
Well, and the opportunity has presented itself, right? Like, if you have to have the bottle episode, having them be forced to be in the same room could bring this shit out, you know? Like, fucking Breakfast Club it, right? Where you start off with no tension and hijinks, and you build your way to, like, the dramatic shit at the end. But, and they don't have to reconcile necessarily, it feels like we didn't take any journeys with with the two of them. So
it's a bunch of stuff that happened.
Yep.
But again, we have to, I guess, understand that they didn't know this show was going to be canceled, right?
Right. But it also, like you said, the last episode was so good compared to, like, it went from this dramatic thing to an episode full of nothing where they could have moved it along a little bit, and they didn't at all.
Yeah. So we are going to the very last episode. They didn't know it, but we do in hindsight. It's called In Dreams Begin Responsibilities, Episode 19, The End of the Season and the End of the Series. The Wikipedia write-up says, everybody in Three Rivers is having weird dreams lately. Jordan, hoping to win Angela back, enlists Brian to help him say the right words, resulting in the letter. Delia has a crush on Ricky. Patty dreams about her old beau, and Graham cooks for the investors. Ricky's Odyssey and the My So-Called Life season both conclude. So... And our reviews of My So-Called Life are going to conclude as well. So, yeah, probably we'll try to belt it out in one. We'll see. One or two more episodes for all y'all.
You're gonna need two.
Yeah, probably.
Vegas.
Yeah.
And then we'll be taking it back to Degrassi season 6. So if you've been waiting
looking
for...
Looking forward to it.
If you're like Stacey and you've been waiting for sexy Sean Cameron, to yeah.
Don't make me sound like I'm some sort of pervert. Come on, man.
Well, just you wait, everybody.
I'm looking forward to someone else sounding like a pervert for a little while.
Well, the guy you love at least is really actually 37 in the show, so you can't feel so.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Ooh. Oh, Tracker.
No, right.
No, Catalano.
No,
Catalano.
Jordan Catalano.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Tracker's
I've been lusting over
away.
Young Jordan Catalano for weeks now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. And it's like I said, I said a couple of weeks ago, it's fine when you talk about it as if you were that, like when you're that age and you're just like, oh, I thought he was so hot back then.
Agreed.
Not now. Because I said that's a big problem in the Degrassi fandom where these girls in their 30s are talking about how hot Craig was and he's like 13. It's like, no, dude, no. You found him hot when you were a teenager and he was a teenager. But no, Craig Manning at 14 is not hot anymore. Stop. Please stop. Jesus.
let's go around the horn and say our goodbyes. Let's start in Regina.
You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT. Tim?
Yeah, here in Okie Oaklandville. Tim here.
Totally going to call it like Okie Oaks from now on because I can never remember.
You can follow me at Folly_T. And I must say, I'm looking forward to seeing how this show sort of kind of concludes. I'm intrigued because I've always heard that this final episode's a good one. So I'm looking forward to it. Stacey.
You can find me on Instagram at srgots, Twitter at stacegots, and if you want to listen to my baseball podcast, I mean, I know a lot of you are Canadian, but you can still listen to it. It's called Locked on Yankees, and it's everywhere.
And everybody from the Narbos and Broomheads podcast, kind of OG crew, with the exception of Harlow, is going to a baseball game tomorrow. Of course, we are recording this well in the past, so we'll be going on June 24th. But if you head over to at Narbos and Broomheads podcast on Instagram, I guarantee there will be at least one photo of your whole crew at the Jays game. Yeah. So go check that out. Go to at Narbos podcast on Twitter if you want to see very irregular updates because Twitter is a sewer. And you can
make sure you all go get some Portuguese chicken sandwiches. Eh?
Oh, we should. Where is that?
At the Portuguese Chicken Guys, which I thought had closed because I got a Groupon for it and then showed up on a day off to get lunch and it was closed. And I was like, is it gone forever? But they actually just moved. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Is it within Courtney's less than 10-minute walking distance she can only handle?
No, it is not. It is not within 10 minutes of where Courtney's willing to walk. So.
Well, yeah. I'm so jealous. Have a wonderful time.
Yeah. So check those out. Slip with Five Eyes or Slip if you want to follow me and give us a shout. Narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com if you want to write us. And until next time, we'll see you when we see you. So peace.
Bye.
Baby.
Well, I just said I don't get my ups. I would never do my homework. Would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe.